We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Juan Toscano-Anderson, and you are listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Joining us right now, Stan Van Gundy. He's doing the Western Conference Finals. After we talk to Stan Van Gundy, I'm going to give you a chance to win two tickets to Game 2 tomorrow night at Chase Center. Stan, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. When you're in a seven-game series, how do you know when you're in trouble?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you lose a home game, you're in a little bit of trouble. But honestly, unless you go down 3-0, then you're not in big trouble until the other team gets a fourth win. So
I guess nothing else
has happened.
I guess what I'm asking is, did you see anything last night that, you know, if you were Jason Kidd, you go back to your staff and you're like, you know what, we got trouble in this series. Or, no, it's one game, now we're going to try to do our thing in game two.
Yeah, I think there's things Dallas can correct. They shot the ball really, really poorly. They've been shooting it well in the playoffs. Look, their other two series, they got blown out in game one. By Utah, they got blown out in game one by Phoenix. So, and Phoenix actually had them down 2-0. So I don't think they're going to panic at all. They know what they're up against. They know the Warriors are really, really good. But, no, I don't think they feel like they're in any kind of mortal trouble. They've just got to play better.
Stan, what did you think of the Warriors' defense specifically against Luka Doncic, changing it up, different looks? I mean, what did you think of their game plan and how well it was executed?
Well, I thought it was terrific. First of all, I thought Wiggins did a tremendous job as the primary defender on Luka. But the thing that I thought was really impressive was Kevon Looney switched on to him about a dozen times in the game and did an outstanding job on him. And Luka's able to score a couple of times, but he made it rough on him. There was nothing easy going to the basket, and he kept the Golden State defense from being compromised. They didn't have to bring second defender and open up a lot of other things. I thought Looney was terrific on the defensive end.
Stan Van Gundy joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's got the call in the Western Conference Finals. Let me stick with that, Coach, because there's been some comparisons, Dallas with the old Houston teams and James Harden. And one of the things the Warriors always did well against Harden was turn him into a volume shooter. Clay would usually guard him, and then Looney would get switched up with him and do a nice job. I kind of thought the same thing. Are the Warriors going to be able to do that with Luka? I didn't know if Clay could do it because of the injuries, but is the Looney defense, those 12 times, is that a guy guessing right, or is that a sign that, you know what, Looney might be able to do this for an entire series?
Well, they're certainly going to keep doing it until it becomes a problem, and then they've certainly got other options. But Looney being able to switch and play like that is certainly Steve Kerr's first choice. It looked fantastic last night. But look, I've got enough experience watching great players to think what works against them one night is automatically going to work the next night just isn't true. One of the things that the greats are able to do, and I would say the same with Steph Curry, is they'll figure it out as time goes on. And so I'm sure Steve Kerr is well aware of that. I expect him to start the same way, but they'll certainly be ready with alternate schemes.
Big question coming into this series, Dan, is how would the Warriors handle the Mavs trying to take the ball out of Steph Curry's hands? And typically the more teams do it to the Warriors, the better they are with it. Sometimes somebody will catch them in a game, regular season, here or there. They won't handle it well. The Warriors can turn it over a lot from time to time. But what did you think of how the Warriors handled it and then used the way the defense was playing against the Mavs with cuts and they're getting layups and really taking advantage of the two-point shot?
Well, look, I thought always the Warriors are the best team in the league moving without the ball. They've got a great combination of player movement and ball movement. They are a great cutting team. We saw all of those things last night, and it's why they're so hard to guard. They're different than most teams in the league. You know, you're guarding most teams, even the better offensive teams in the NBA. You're basically, you've got to get back defensively, and then you've got to defend pick and roll and some isolation plays against mismatches. You're just not used to having to defend all of the movement off the ball the way the Warriors play. And I thought that's what Dallas had a lot of trouble with last night. First, the Warriors hurt him in transition, and then the ball movement and player movement was spectacular. And so you really didn't see them get too many double teams on Curry. A little harder to do when you're always on the move.
Stan Van Gundy joining us on 95.7. Coach, have you ever, you know, the Mavericks are coming off a 7-game series against Phoenix. They're in a do-or-die Game 7. Now they get to the Western Conference Finals. Even though it's a Western Conference Finals, it kind of feels like the stakes are lower for a Game 1 than a previous Game 7. Have you ever had experience, you know, coming off an emotional series and then going into another series? Is there a little letdown or hangover after a series like that?
Well, there certainly can be, because Sunday was an extremely emotional game for Dallas. To beat the top-seeded team who had really dominated the league all year, to do it on their home floor and in a blowout, you know, that was certainly a high for Dallas. And to expect them to be back to that same level of emotion in Game 1 probably was something we shouldn't have expected. I thought that, you know, I didn't really think it was a letdown. I thought it was a combination of great play at both ends by the Warriors and it really poor three-point shooting by Dallas, who has really lived on the three. They came in leading the league in the playoffs in threes made, third in three-point percentage. And, you know, last night they make only 11. They've been averaging 15.5, and they shoot 22% instead of the 38-39% they've been shooting. So I thought it was as simple as that. I didn't think it had to do with, you know, Dallas having a letdown in terms of not playing hard or anything else. They just didn't play well.
Stan, I want to ask you about Andrew Wiggins. What do you think, and I know you touched on it with the defense on Luka a little bit, but what do you think has been the reason that it's clicked to where Andrew Wiggins has become such an impactful playoff player for the Warriors during this run?
Well, I think in this series particularly, and you saw it last night, you know, they really want to go at Luka Doncic when he's on defense. And so you saw him, they put him in a lot of pick and rolls. They made him defend. And then every time Andrew Wiggins got the ball, he was looking to score on Doncic. And, you know, that level of aggression, offensive aggression, goes up and down with Wiggins. You guys know that as well as I do watching all year. But I think this is something that, you know, Steve Kerr and even Andrew Wiggins' teammates are really pushing on him, particularly in this series, is that he's got to be aggressive and make Doncic defend. He certainly did that last night, got off to a great start, but kept the pressure on him all the time and I thought created a lot of problems for the Mavericks.
Yeah, I just think, isn't that a tough game to play, Coach? You know, because we, you got Curry who's going to want 20 shots, Clay's going to want 20, Poole takes a lot of shots. It's a pretty tough role, isn't it, for a guy like Wiggins to figure out what the right number is?
Yeah, I don't think there's a right number. I think it's, you know, run the offense. It's going to run through those. Well, it's going to run through Draymond Green, but everything is going to run to those three guards initially. But when the ball comes to you, you know, be ready and be on the attack, be aggressive. And whether that results in, you know, six shots or 15 shots will be determined by the situation. But Wiggins just has to stay aggressive with his opportunities. And I thought last night was probably exactly the way that Steve Kerr and the Warriors would want Andrew Wiggins to play every night in this series at both ends of the floor.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, Coach, thank you so much for joining us. Really enjoy your commentary and enjoy the rest of the series.
Yeah, we certainly will. I think it'll be a good one.
Thank you. Stan Van Gundy, former Pistons coach, former Magic coach,
Heat.
Former Heat? Pelicans. That's right, Heat.
Don't forget the Heat.
Yeah, Heat didn't end great.
It didn't, but they won a lot of games.
They did. See, I think he was a good coach. I really do. Remember, he was going to get hired before Steve Kerr.
Yeah. He was going to get hired before Steve Kerr, and even...
He wanted personnel stuff, didn't
right.
he?
Right. And it didn't happen in Detroit. Well, Detroit gave it to him, and then it was like, well, I got to take this job.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other one was, and this goes even way back, I want to say, was this before Orlando, after Orlando? I can't remember the timeline. I think maybe it was after Orlando, where he was going to take the Kings job and actually... like had the contract like faxed to him where he was at a Kinko's or something and it fell through somehow, or he got another. I need to put the details together, but I think there's like Stan Van Gundy was in Sacramento with a copy of the contract ready to sign it, and then something happened.
I'm gonna Google Stan Van Gundy and Kinko's during the break.
This is forgive me. I want to say maybe this was before he got the Orlando job.
I think it looked. I've got some results from 2007. Left at the altar, Van Gundy says no to Kings.
There you go. Yeah. Wasn't that long ago.
All right. 888-957-9570. Your chance to jump into the conversation. Warriors take a 1-0 lead over the Dallas Mavericks. They hammer Dallas 112-87. Who was the best player on the floor for the Warriors? Was it Andrew Wiggins? Jordan Poole was certainly efficient offensively. Kevon Looney doing his thing again. And the Golden State Warriors take a 1-0 lead. Game 2 tomorrow. Speaking of Game 2 tomorrow, you want to go? You want to go? You got a shot to go right here. Here's what you have to do. Text the word SWISH, S-W-I-S-H, to 20357. That's SWISH to 20357, and you'll be in the hopper for a chance to win two tickets to Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals tomorrow at Chase Center. Go ahead.
All right, so we'll be very quick about this. So, yeah, Stan Van Gundy set to take the Kings job in 2007, so this would have been after Eric Musselman got fired, one and done for Musselman. So much so, he and his wife went house shopping in the area, obviously native of Martinez, was in the King's grasp. The contract was done locally at a Sacramento Kinko's. Van Gundy, though, spurned the Kings in a last-minute decision, and yeah, the Magic then sent the contract over. So while in Sacramento, He signed the contract and sent it back from Sacramento to Orlando. So he was in Sacramento.
Right. Yeah, and then he went to the finals.
Yeah. Pride of Martinez, California, as you both know, by the way. The Van Gundy.
Van Gundy quoted, "I'm not happy with the way I handled the whole thing." Van Gundy did not keep the Kings abreast of the developing situation in Orlando.
Of course not.
So the only thing left to do was to sign the contract. The contract was done, and then but then
get out of town, then tell the Kings.
Exactly.
Are you Team Jeff or Team Stan?
I like them both, actually.
I do, too. I like Stan a little better.
Stan, you know, have a strong opinion.
I'd rather have a beer with Stan than Jeff.
I think I like Jeff more. And I'll be honest. Like I had a visceral reaction when I found out he was coming on. Not that he wouldn't be a good guest, because I figured he'd be a good guest, but just I kind of got tired of his act with the Pelicans. I got tired of his act with the Pistons at the end. Like, I think he kind of reached that point where a lot of coaches reach, where you just kind of... A little bit of maybe like Nelly syndrome.
George
kinda.
Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
he knows the freaking game.
No doubt. I think what happened is he took the Pistons job. He got paid a lot for the Pistons job. And I just think he got there and you realize we got no hope here.
And Whitey Gleason, by the way, who's gonna be in for Damon, he's got a little extra tip in on the on this Van Gundy thing. He used the Kings contract as leverage to get the Orlando job, basically. And then went to Kinko's to fax the deal. Can you beat this? Can you beat this deal? And Orlando beat the deal.
Wow.
Sources tell Whitey Gleason.
He didn't handle it well, he said, so he's an upfront.
R.I.P. Kinko's. And then FedEx Kinko's, and now it's just FedEx
office.
Yeah,
it's just FedEx. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys got it. 888-957-9570. We're here till 3 o'clock.
FedEx big in Memphis, I learned.
No doubt. Yeah. Oh, it's huge. Yeah. It's their hub.
Yeah.
Van Gundy versus Dwight Howard. Which side? I'm on Van Gundy's side. Dwight Howard. Don't get me started. All right. You know, the funny thing is and maybe this is, let me ask you this. Maybe this is just kind of the MO of a quote-unquote national guy. But both Van Gundy and McDonough, while acknowledging, you know, big game one win for the Warriors, they weren't, and maybe it's just the coach and the GM in them, didn't sound like they weren't giving Dallas any chance. Both said they still think it's going to be a long series.
Well, it's one game. I mean, the reality is it's one game.
Right.
I think typically, though, a coach and a GM want to make sure they're being respectful of all angles
True.
In the series, because they've been like Van Gundy's been in series before where he knows they're overmatched, and it's not like he's going to say that they're overmatched. And I think there is a little bit of that, especially with the Van Gundy, because, I mean, look, they protect the coaching
Huge.
Ranks sometimes
Huge.
Ad nauseum. And so, I think he's not gonna say that he thinks the Mavs are cooked. I think even if he thinks the Mavs are cooked, until the Warriors at least win a couple of games.
Yeah, probably right.
McDonough, I'm a little more open-minded on.
All right.
I think he's a little more forthcoming.
Let's take a listen to Steve Kerr from last night. This is what you have to do against Luka Doncic.
You can't do the same thing with Doncic every possession. You got to be able to mix it up. He's too good. And so we tried to do some of that. You know, one game, we did an excellent job defensively, but we're under no illusion that we've figured anything out. We just played really hard and competed and tried to contest shots. But, you know, there's a good chance those shots start going in next game. So we've just got to stay committed and stay aggressive, play with force, and see what happens.
Yeah, that's one thing Van Gundy also talked about is...
he had the numbers.
With the great player.
Yeah.
Don't expect it to happen again. And obviously he threw Steph in there. And we'll see. Let's take another listen to Steve Kerr. This is the interesting one that I thought was a big part of the game. Because I thought the mid-range, you know, the Dallas Mavericks took, 48 threes, which represented 56% of their shots. They only took 6 shots at the rim. So that tells me their mid-range game wasn't really working well either, as opposed to the Warriors. Take a listen.
My ideal game is to shoot 70% from 3, but we took what the defense gave us. They did a good job taking away a lot of our threes. A lot of our guys made those mid-rangers. I think you have to make in the playoffs. Teams are going to take away layups. They're going to take away threes. If you can step in and knock down some 15-footers, I think you have to be able to do that. We've been lucky to have, you know, great shooters over the years who have been able to knock down that shot, whether, you know, Steph, Clay, Kevin, you know, now Otto, you know, really good mid-range shooter. If it's there, that's the shot you got to take.
That was Steve Kerr from last night. From last night. The one thing I wanted to ask you, JD, is Jordan Poole coming off the bench. You know, Steve Kerr in the middle of the year, not maybe, I don't know if it was middle, maybe toward the end. No, it was toward the end because I think Curry got hurt. He said, you know, it's changed the lineup a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see anything in this series that would lead you to believe that they could change? Like, what could happen where they would change the lineup?
I think if the Mavs go to Finney Smith at center and take Powell out and play Dinwiddie. And I know Ryan McDonough didn't think they would do that. He mentioned Maxi Kleba as a potential sub for Powell. But I wonder. I wonder if the Mavs go with Luka Brunson, Dinwiddie, Finney Smith, and Bullock. And that maybe forces Looney off the floor.
Apparently he likes it pronounced Block now. Did you hear that?
Reggie Bullock?
Yeah.
Okay. Reggie Bullock.
Block. Block, yeah.
Bullock.
I think that's what they. Yeah, that's okay. So just, you know, keep that in mind.
Cool. Whatever tell you
what,
want.
Tell you what, Reggie, I'll call you by your right last name if you make a couple shots. How's that?
Just made three last night.
Well, he had a couple in and out too early. At
I mean,
what was he? Four for 12?
Three for 10.
Three for 10.
He was 4 for 12 overall, but yeah. Yeah, okay. 4 for 12 overall.
I mean,
he matched Lucas 3 for 10.
Yeah.
Three wins away for the Warriors. Back to the finals.
It's
getting real quick.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. What do you think of tonight? We got 2 or 3 minutes we can devote to Boston Celtics. Looks like Horford and Smart both going to play today. Game 2 in Miami.
I think the Celtics are the better team, especially if they're whole. And to see them get wiped away by that third quarter and then Miami make shots repeatedly down the stretch to keep the Celtics at bay, a little surprised by that. I wonder if that can continue over the long haul of a series. I mean, both these teams can be offensively challenged from time to time, but I feel like the Celtics have a little bit more go-to in them, a little more consistently.
It feels like if you're a Warrior fan, you think you have a better shot against Miami.
Well, I don't think there's a doubt.
Why though?
Well, I think Miami's more offensively challenged. I think they're also breaking down. Kyle Lowry's already out.
Like, yeah.
The Warriors ain't losing to the Heat without Kyle Lowry playing and playing at a high level. And if he comes back, for how long? I mean, he already came back once and had to shut it down again. And Jimmy Butler, awesome. Kind of looks like he's on fumes. PJ Tucker is limping around. Like, you know, they could win this series against the Celtics. I'm not taking anything away from it, but what are they going to have left? What are they going to have left if they win it?
Well, it feels like
to me it's a difference between if the Warriors are playing the Heat, I'm extremely confident in picking the Warriors to beat the Heat. Warriors Celtics, that's more of a 7-game series that could go either way. Like, I think that is a really even series based on the Celtics have, they got Tatum, they got a bunch of wing players that can defend, they've got...
Well, they have what Milwaukee had that I think is the key, and that is your best three players can all defend.
They have bigs, like if Williams is playing, Robert Williams is playing,
right?
Like he can play, he can be a problem, I think, in certain areas for the Warriors. Like, that's a dangerous matchup.
Oh, I know what I want to ask you. Where are we with Andre Iguodala and Gary Payton II right now?
Yeah, Iguodala, I think, was going to get reevaluated today.
Okay.
Which I know they already had practice. I thought today was the day between game 1 and game 2.
Do you get
2.
The sense they're not optimistic?
Yeah, kind of.
Then what about Payton II?
And then Payton II, I'm trying to remember what the date. They set the date, I think it was it 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago or something like that? Or
all right.
So I don't think there's really much there.
So it sounds to me like the best
unless thing Steve Kerr addressed it. I know he had his thing today since we've been on the air.
It sounds like Payton II has a chance.
Yeah, not completely ruled out for this series.
Oh, not for this either. Okay.
Yeah, that was said Monday or Tuesday.
See, I could see, if, you know, this series goes a little long, you get Peyton back.
Yeah. just another just another guy on Luka as a X factor.
Exactly. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Game two. Tomorrow night at Chase Center. You want to go? You want to go to game two tomorrow? Just keep it locked in. I'll tell you exactly how on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. The Warriors, they're up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Game two tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Who wants to go? Who wants to go? You all want to go, don't you? I'll tell you how. Text the word SWISH, S-W-I-S-H, to 20357. Right now, text the word SWISH to 20357. That gives you a chance to see Steph and the Golden State Warriors play in game two tomorrow night, 6 o'clock tip off. Swish to 20357. Here's one thing that we haven't talked about, but it's kind of, I remember thinking about it way back in the day. And what I mean by that is when the Warriors got off to their 18-2 start, Iguodala was healthy, but the one thing I remember was, even though it was early in the season, there were games where they employed a zone or they employed a box in one or something. And while they didn't do it every game all season, the Warriors have consistently used different kind of defenses over the course of the season, I think more than a lot of other teams do. Like, I think a lot of teams will employ, for lack of a better term, what did the Warriors, janky. I think they called it janky defense when the Raptors went Boxan won. So my question is, they've been doing it all year, here and there. They haven't waited to get into a real bind and then say, oh, now we got to do it. So I almost think it's something they've kind of thought about all year. Let's do this over the course of the year so that we're solid at these different kind of defenses, these secondary defenses, so when the playoffs come, we'll have them.
Opponent-specific defenses is kind of how I categorize it. I think it's just by necessity, and they came out at the beginning of the year really wanting to try to win as many games as possible. They were playing the veterans at that point a lot, maybe even so much to the point to where they wore Iguodala down. I think they acknowledged that at some point in January that maybe they played him a little too much. They're playing Porter a lot. It was basically the veterans and the core guys that were playing, not a lot of Kuminga or Moody or anything like that. And so I think that was a big part of it, was more that they felt they needed to do that and that they really wanted to get every advantage they possibly could to try and win as many games as they possibly could, because they didn't want to get stuck in this, are we the sixth seed, are we the seventh seed, are we in the play-in tournament, are we not, want to get home court advantage at least in the first round of the playoffs, which they wound up going to get it in two out of three, maybe three out of the four rounds. If they wind up going to the finals, they would have it as well. So I think a lot of it was more just really trying to go all in. And I think a lot of it was carving out a new role for Mike Brown as the defensive coordinator. And so I think he gets the hat tip.
And that's what the 707 wants to know. How much influence does Mike Brown have on our defense? And how big of an effect will his absence be maybe next season?
So much so, the impact that if you were listening to what Mike Brown had to say in his short few days to a week where he had to take over for Steve Kerr, he really acknowledged that he was playing catch up as far as the offense and just kind of the overall function of the team.
Right.
Because he was so dug in on defensive specific issues in terms of, which was a change from his prior years on the coaching staff. Now, he still handled the rotation like organizing who's going to play and how many minutes and how they go about doing that in combinations. He's still that guy, but he was very much into the deep. As far as next year, I mean, who knows?
Right.
We'll see who they hire. You know, a couple potential openings. I mean, it's not like Kenny Atkinson's going to get a job.
Where do you interview Charlotte?
Yeah.
Kenny Atkinson and Mike Brown. Mike Brown, of course, had to do to Sacramento. Oh, here's one thing we haven't talked about. I'm going to ask you a question that you won't be able to answer because I don't know how to answer.
Okay.
What's going on with Steph's free throw shooting?
That's weird.
I mean, seriously.
That is weird.
Anybody have a theory? Spinelli? Anything? Anything. How come Steph's not making free throws?
I thought it was altitude in the Denver series.
Gotta be mental, right? At that point, like it's in his head. He missed a couple and starting to creep in a little bit. Or maybe Wiggins is just contagious at the free throw line. Another player is starting to feel it.
A little tired,
man,
maybe.
You want to talk about a first of first world problems. Hey, Steph's only going 4-for-7 from the line.
I mean, 4-for-7's bad.
Well, for him.
4-for-7's bad, period.
Not for Chris Dudley.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Free throw shooter maybe ever?
Yes.
4-for-7's bad.
It's great for Iguodala.
About Wiggins,
57% is bad. Like that's
too small a sample size.
Come on,
too small a sample size. How about this 9-2-5? I think it's because he's so tired from playing defense.
Yeah.
I do think there might be something to that.
I think.
I mean, not necessarily
part of it.
Not necessarily with the free throw shooting, but maybe with his shooting overall. I've said that before. If it's true that Steph Curry's playing the best defense of his career. And I leave that up to a coach, the coaching staff, because I don't know. If Steve Kerr tells me that Steph Curry's playing the best defense of his career, I'm going to believe him. So if I'm going to believe that, well, that does have an impact on the way you shoot the ball at the other end.
It does.
Because the only way you get better at defense is by kind of trying harder. And so if Steph is playing his best defense of his career, it kind of stands to reason his shooting percentage would drop a little bit.
What about lifting weights?
See,
that one comes up a lot as a theory. Not my theory, but you hear that one a lot. I'm sure you got a couple of texters.
Well, I think, and I've thought a lot about this. I think there's about 8 reasons.
You why. Asked him about that too, yeah. Steiny. And yeah. he said no, but
well, no,
that's
the,
right.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
He said no.
To the weights thing.
He said, actually, I ran through him and he was like, nah, yeah. And then when I said the new ball, that's when he goes, no. The new ball has nothing okay. to do with anything.
Yeah, I remember that one. I thought he said the same thing about the bulking up part.
He said something about it. But
wasn't it kind of an eye roll?
No, he was kind of like, okay, maybe. Because I should have just stopped and let him comment on every one, but I kind of went through them. But the one thing he acknowledged was he got out of rhythm with the record. He thought he was, he was trying to hit home runs all the time and trying to, and I think it's Steve Kerr, kind of, remember that? Didn't Steve Kerr, maybe he can get 16 against Portland?
That was...
And then it was bad. It was all bad for
them. That was really bad.
Yeah.
I remember being in the room that night. I can't remember who they played. I should be able to.
I think it was Portland, wasn't it?
Well, Portland.
And then they played Philly.
Well, Portland was the next game. I think they were playing maybe Orlando that night. But it was Portland was the game where Portland was the next game after to where it was, hey, maybe he can get the record before they go on the road. Yeah, it was Orlando on December 6th. And then they played Portland the next, and Portland was depleted. They had nobody. Lillard and McCollum were both out. And it was really kind of they were kind of making a mockery of, well, Portland sucks. Maybe we're playing great. Maybe he can hit 16, which would have broken
right.
the all-time record and
exactly.
broken the individual game record, which Clay has.
Because I remember talking to you and saying, Portland, there's no way he's going to get that record. Here,
yeah,
and then even Philly, he didn't get it.
And then they went
to 10, right?
And then they went to Philly, and Doc Rivers is like, "There's no way in hell we were letting him."
That's right.
Doc Rivers, Philly won the game, also, but Doc Rivers almost said, "Hey, they may win the game, but he ain't breaking the record on our floor."
Then didn't he take a day off, and then did it in New York? Did he sit somewhere?
Yeah, he took Indiana, or did he take Indiana?
I think he did. I think he did. Let's go to Mark in Berkeley. He's got the panacea for Steph's free throw shooting. What's going on, Mark? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Hey, I think when something throws a player off, it's an idea in their head. It could be something that's going on in their life. I think it might be that knee brace. Isn't that knee brace pretty new? And since that knee brace has come on, suddenly his free throws are off. And, that's got to feel really, really weird on his body. That's all I got to say, really. I think it's that simple.
Appreciate it. Yeah, if you're going to say the added weight and the bulk has hurt his shot, look at him crashing the glass last night. 12 rebounds for Steph Curry.
And I think it helps him get to the basket and finish.
Yeah, although I'm not convinced he's doing more of that than in the past. He might be finishing better. I don't know what the advanced analytics
say.
Well,
the numbers, I think, and I haven't looked at it in a long time, but he wasn't finishing as well.
See, I feel
like... But the willingness to keep going in there.
Right, right.
I think
I feel like this was a year he didn't finish as well as he has in other years. But again, I'm not sure what the advanced numbers say. Let's go to Omar. Omar is in Oakland. What's going on? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, guys. How y'all doing today?
Dynamite.
All right. I want to say the Warriors fans should not overreact because Dallas was coming off a high after winning that game in Phoenix the way they did. And I feel like, they were just off that high off game 7. And that happened the same thing with the Phoenix series, how they got blown out the first 2 games. So the series doesn't start till a team wins on a road. So it could easily be 2-0 and then go to Dallas and be 2-2. So Warrior fans need to relax a little bit because one game doesn't win you a series. It takes 4 to win. And that's all I got to say. And hopefully Guru is doing fine because we miss him on the radio. And, the classic line, just chew it and do it, baby.
Thanks, Omar. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm willing. See, that's where I'm different. I know the old saying about it's not a series till you win a road game, but it's a series if the Golden State Warriors win tomorrow night. I mean, I know it defies logic, but what I'm saying is you go up 2-0 to the Mavericks And depending how it
then
looks,
then it's two must-win games.
You got to win four or five. I mean, you got to win four or five, see, just like you did in Phoenix. But it's the Warriors.
Yeah, and see, it's funny. I never think about the 4 and 5 part of it.
Always.
I know a lot of people do, and that's one that I kind of. We all have our little things we dismiss.
Right.
The 4 or 5, I kind of dismiss. It's like you got to win two, and then at home is like to me that's the bigger deal, and then it's. And then you got, and then it's just a series at that point. Can you get it to that? Can you get it to where it's 2-2? Because then all the pressure's on the Warriors game five, and then all the pressure. And that was the thing. Like the Mavs just kept applying the pressure to Phoenix,
right?
And Phoenix had the answer in game five. Although Phoenix played pretty terribly in the first half of game five,
they won,
and then they had a great third quarter, and the Mavs started missing everything, and it turned into a blowout.
Here's a couple things because I always the one reason I love a 7-game series is because things become obvious over time, and the one thing that I said I'm going to be looking for is how do you defend Luka if you're the Warriors, and does it look like you're wearing Luka down? Or does it look like you're starting to have less and less answers about Luka? Game one, he struggled. Here's one thing I saw in game one that is now, you note a few things after game one.
Sure.
Here's one thing I'd be a little concerned about if I'm Dallas. Brunson's ability to guard.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not the quickest point guard in the NBA. That's for damn sure. And you start talking about a Jordan Poole, and I know Steph Curry's not lightning quick, first step, but he moves without the ball. Like if Brunson can't guard, yikes.
The thing that stood out to me, and I may have mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I just the inability for Dallas to make the Warriors pay for some careless passes. Like where I thought, oh, that would have been a steal in the Memphis series, or that would have been deflected and gone out. Like Dallas is not Memphis. Just from a physical standpoint. And they're better, they're not better. Not really debating that at this point. They're the opponent. But that stood out to me. The other thing that stood out to me is just do they have enough good players? Like do they have enough? Like who's there too? Like because say what you want about the Warriors. The Warriors have...
Well, it was Brunson in the previous series.
Sure. Okay. Clearly. So Brunson's how good are you really? Yeah. And I know it's different because the Mavs' best player is a superstar.
Well,
Maybe you don't need your second best player to be as good.
I disagree.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you don't. I'm just throwing that at you.
Who was Memphis' second best player? Who was Denver's second best player?
Well, yeah.
Without, like I hear you, and that's where, to me, if they end up playing Boston, well now,
but how and how
Tatum,
right.
Brown,
how,
Smart,
how good can you be if da 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 is your second best player?
I agree.
I would have said Monte Morris in the Denver series, and he may have been the guy that played the best against the Warriors. It might have been DeMarcus Cousins,
right? Well, and Dinwiddie is a player who has scored against the Warriors,
sure.
But
is he a two, like, ever? Like, is he a second best player? Like, because those are the kinds of things where you just look at teams and you start to go,
I mean, are they
good enough?
They're
if
number...
Dorian Finney-Smith's your second best player,
well,
you beating the Warriors?
Might be Tim Hardaway Jr., even though he's hurt.
Is Brunson, you beating the Warriors?
Well, I mean, Brunson is
and
a big
no
reason why Dallas beat Phoenix, though.
Yeah.
Because he was able to play very, very well. And he scored.
And I'm going to say something that you might not like.
I probably won't.
Warriors ain't Phoenix.
No, of course they're not.
This ain't Phoenix.
See, Jackson Jr. would be the second best.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. He says Jaren Jackson Jr. would be the second best player if he were on Dallas. Here's one for you. I was thinking about this.
See, I think Bane I think Bane's every bit as good as Brunson. I think Bane's a better player than Brunson.
Yeah, he's all right. I wouldn't say no. I'm taking Brunson. I'm taking Brunson.
I think Bane's a better player than Dinwiddie. I like Dinwiddie.
But Dinwiddie's got a chance to be more of a factor than Bane was.
Yeah, Bane didn't play well.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Exactly. And Dylan Brooks didn't shoot well.
That's fair.
But maybe that's got to do with the Golden State Warriors defense.
The Warriors have Curry, Clay, who can be a in any game a legitimate two, if not a one.
Let me ask you this.
Wiggins.
This could be a little bit for tomorrow. A little bit for tomorrow. Although I almost don't want to say it because then other shows might take it. What if Steph Curry were on the Mavericks and had a and was Doncic? They'd be better or worse?
I might have to think about that one.
Okay, you got all night. And then what if Doncic were on the Warriors and he were Steph?
Boy, that's a great question.
Yeah. I'm not going to answer
well,
it, but I'm going to think about it.
The initial answer is the obvious answer.
Which is?
Steph better.
See, I mean, honestly, this is where...
I try to work that in once every show.
Well, you've done it more than that now.
Today?
Yes.
I already did it today?
Yes.
It might have been off the air today.
No, you did it. No, you did it on the air.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, then, yes. maybe I use it for... Then I've used mine for tomorrow.
But see, this is where... This is where they're two different players. I mean, Steph wouldn't right. play like Luka, and Luka wouldn't play like Steph.
But again, the answer is...
Why do you do this? Let's go to Sal. Sal's in Redwood City,
thank goodness.
Because
it doesn't matter what team he's on. It's Steph.
Hey, Sal, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's my first time calling in. But
nice.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout-out to the man, Klay Thompson, man. You know, I like seeing him shoot them three-point buckets, but, hey, man, nothing better than seeing Klay making those fadeaway jumpers in the playoffs, man. I miss that.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a field goal in the first half. Certainly had a few in the second half. All right, you want to go to game two? Text SWISH, S-W-I-S-H, to 20357. That's SWISH to 20357. And you'll be put in the hopper. Win two tickets to game two tomorrow. You know, the thing I'm thinking is, okay, so we're going to come in tomorrow, talk about game. We got and some good stuff to talk about already. And then when we come in Monday, it's going to be
yeah, you
going to be 2-1, 1-2, 3-0.
You and Goo like don't even have to watch tomorrow. I'm kidding.
Right. I'm going to be watching it down in Monterey, actually. I'm going golfing this weekend.
Oh, yeah, like a stayover trip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple nights.
The Alvarado Street Brewery, Sonny, where are you going?
Turn 12 or turn 14?
Something? Yeah, formerly Doc Ricketts down near Monterey Sports Center. I know exactly where it is, right off Alvarado. Yeah.
We probably won't be going to the Monarchs, the Monarch. Apparently, it's not a great place to watch games.
Don't even know what that is, so there you go. Probably not.
It's kind of a new place. It's in PG.
Okay.
It's not in Monterey.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Hip Monterey's.
Where's
where the hip
Alvarado Street?
Is. Alvarado's the main street down in Monterey.
See, we stay in Pacific Grove a lot.
That's where I'm from.
So,
yeah.
But in Monterey, to get to Monterey, you don't have to go on 17-mile drive, correct?
No, to get to Pebble Beach, you do though.
Right.
Right.
And that's where you kind of have to drive. If you're not really in that community, you got to kind of drive by. Hey, it's going
mm-hmm.
and just not stop. Right.
Correct. You're
just hoping to get the nod.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? If you drive a nice enough car, generally they let you in the Pebble Beach.
Well, I'll be taking the VW IV4, right? IM4. Not going to be taking the Volt.
You need
Volt.
To slow down on that thing, by the way, Stein. You cut me off a couple days ago on that.
Heard about that.
It was not a cutoff. I'm the safest driver in the...
Use your turn signals, ladies
and gentlemen.
How much
we got here?
Got about a minute.
Okay.
Whitey and Ratto coming up next.
All right. Whitey Gleason, he can probably take the story a little bit further about Stan Van Gundy at Kinko's taking away the. It is funny. Stan Van Gundy always will be linked to the Bay Area because he was the guy who they were ready to hire before Steve Kerr.
Ernie Johnson, 5 o'clock.
Oh, nice,
great
Ernie
that. Johnson.
Nice. By the way, Warrior fans, what are you doing to poor Charles Barkley out there?
I mean, that goes both ways.
Leave it, poor Charles.
Hey, Charles, what are you doing saying to the kid what you said to the kid?
By the way, the one thing color of Dwayne Wade's jacket last night was unbelievable. His jacket was nice.
Few people can pull that off.
That,
him and Ray Ratto, probably.
That was a nice jacket Dwayne Wade had on. All right, everybody, we got to get out of here.
Night,
see
night.
Ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.